want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to episode 316 of the Geocaching Podcast, recorded live on September 4th, 2013. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W4 and
Ed Hardhat.
You can join our live chat room and video stream and watch us as we record this episode and participate with other listeners. That can be found at geocachingpodcast.com/live. We have a voicemail line, and that number is 630-31-VOICE. You can find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by listeners like you. Thank you for your donations. Welcome back, guys. How have your week been so far?
Pretty good over here. Busy, of course, but I'm still going on my streak. I'm at like 35 days now, I think it is. And
wow.
I have actually given up on the blogging, though, because that was, I think, just getting a little boring.
Try doing a vlog every day.
Yeah, no, that would be way too much work.
It was a lot of fun. I have to admit, we speaking of the 31 days of geocaching, it was a lot of fun. But every day that's an hour and a half editing, publishing, putting out, uploading.
It's a lot of work to do that.
It is a lot of work. How about you, Andy?
Well, I got an First to Find again this week. They're still publishing these pay it forward caches around here. I think there's 30 in total now. And so I was managed to get another FTF on that one, which is nice. I woke up, saw it published, and was out the door, and I had it within like 15 minutes of it publishing. So that was always nice to get one that quick.
Nice.
Well, we have a geocaching question today, so let's listen to that.
Hey cachers, I'm Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, I've been caching since 2002, and I've been in the business of geocaching since 2005. Mondays through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching. We recently asked, are you still on a caching streak, which is finding a cache a day, from August? Well, after tallying all the answers, 44% are still streaking, while 56% are done with their streak. Well, so here's what we heard. For those still streaking, yes, day 34 and counting, still continuing my streak. I'm trying for another 2 weeks and I'll go from there. I was streaking before August and I'm still going. Today was day 914. Oh my goodness. Wow. So for those that are done streaking, here's what we heard. Ending today. Thank goodness. Back to reality. I blew August on the second day, so the pressure was off. More fun that way. Nope, 32 days. Need to break it off from feeling like a chore and get back to quality caching. And then finally, we heard from DeBear, I'm doing the exact same streak I was doing all of August, namely caching on my own set schedule. So far, so good. Hey, way to go. Well, we really enjoyed hearing about geocaching streaks, and you can too if you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks and happy caching.
Well, it seems like there's a whole gamut of people, some who are still caching their streaks and some who are not. I'm not. My streak didn't last but one day there in August. I mean, I did 3 or 4 different caches throughout the month, but I did not do them consistently, so I did not get a streak in there. But tonight, guys, thanks for joining us tonight. We're going to be doing our monthly Cacher Coffee episode. And if you've never joined us for one of our Cacher Coffees, it's kind of just like a meet and greet where you're hanging out in a coffee shop. Anyone can come in. Anyone can join us. We have a live line, and that number is 630-31-VOICE if you want to be on the show live with us tonight. Again, that's 630-31-VOICE, and that'll get you live on the show. If you want to talk about anything, feel free to bring up any geocaching topics with us tonight. So, again, that number is 630-31-VOICE. So, to kick off the show tonight, I have an announcement to make. I've been doing this show since 2007, And I've had lots and lots of great memories with you guys. And because of some changes in my life, as far as we're moving, and I just feel like I need to spend a whole lot more time with my family, I'm actually going to step down from hosting this show. So I'm not going to be hosting this show anymore. Don't worry, though. We will be doing this show still. Daryl and Head Hard Hat are going to continue this. And they Head Hard Hat will be the new producer of the show. So I officially pass the baton over to you, Head Hard Hat. You get the baton for this show. And also, from what I understand, you guys are looking for some new co-hosts. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're going to be setting up. Andy is going to be around with us, I think you said, to the end of the month, correct, sir?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So basically what's going to happen is Daryl and I are going to be putting the word out for some tryouts that we're going to have for geocachers or different type of podcasters that would be interested in taking up the third and even a fourth seat. Doing a show like this takes a lot of energy, and we have schedules, we have other shows, we have other things that we do as well, and for coming on a weekly basis, we love doing it, and we will continue to do it. It will just make it a lot easier for those situations where we do have family events, different things come up, to have a third and even a fourth person to be able to rely on to come in and do the show on a weekly basis. So over the next couple of weeks, we are going to be putting out announcements on how you can contact us. We will probably want some dual tapes as far as different types of things, different types of interests. Find out some profiles from different types of people and what they want to do and how they would like to be with the show. We'll go over all that in the next couple of weeks, but yes, we're definitely going to be having some tryouts. And if you are interested in getting being a part of the show, we will be setting that up and going from there. Daryl, anything else you want to add to that?
Well, it also is really nice if you're outside of our home regions, you know, especially I would love to get some folks in different countries, but even, you know, different time zones, since both of us are Eastern, maybe we could get someone, you know, Central, Mountain, Pacific, or, you know, maybe we could even get someone out of Hawaii.
Wow. Ooh, that would be great.
Well, yeah, and then we can go visit them.
I was going to say, there's camaraderie there.
Man, I'm leaving this show and you take it on the road. I want to thank you guys for, you know, I've been doing this since 2007. And so that's, you know, a lot of time, blood, sweat, and tears that I've put into this. And I think that, you know, it's just been really tough to step down and just see, you know, just having to step down like this. I mean, I need to focus my time and on my kids while they're still young. And I think that, that's going to allow me to do that. But again, I'm going to miss you guys. You know, we've done a lot of shows together. This has been, you know, 300 and what is this now? 16. And so, I mean, I know that we've not all been on all of the shows, but we've done a lot of this together. And you know, I thank you guys, the listeners too, because it's, you guys really make this show what it is. You know, when I started this show, I started it in my office at work. And, it was just me talking on TalkShoe at the time. And I didn't seriously think that there was going to be anybody listening. And what a community that we have, we've grown over the last, you know, several years, that I just enjoy hanging out with you guys and being part of the show. And, you know, hopefully at some point I can come on as a guest, because hopefully you guys don't kick me out of here completely. But
Daryl, can we pencil him in?
Well, I'm thinking we should, you know, lock the door and throw away the key.
Oh, man.
We'll just humor him for another couple of weeks.
Good point. Okay. I did say that, Andy.
Yeah. Well, so I think that, you know, thanks again, guys, for just making this show awesome. So, and thanks to you guys for picking up the baton when I'm leaving too.
Well, we can't fill the shoes. We can do our best to keep the show going and keeping the geocaching information and greatness that geocachers is expected from you. And we can do our best with that. But like I said, we're never going to be able to fill your shoes, but we'll do our best to carry it on and go from there. And personally, for me, you know, the past couple of years working with you has been absolutely fantastic. I've learned a lot of different things, especially through production and things like that from you guys. So, you know, you're going to be missed, Andy, and there's no other way of saying that.
Well, thanks. Thanks. I appreciate that. Well, guys, if you have any other questions or comments about that, you can always shoot me an email, Andy@geocachingpodcast.com. But you know, let's talk about tonight. You know, and again, I want to remind you guys that if you want to call in live for our show tonight, the number is going to be 630-31-VOICE. So there is a show, and we're not sure, Daryl, you said you think it's a German electronic show, correct?
Yeah, the IFA show is the way that it's pronounced that I understand it, but it's actually the big electronic show over in Europe, kind of like our CES, but much heavier on technology and new announcements and less about selling stuff than the CES show is.
That's so interesting.
They've announced several different things today that we thought were kind of interesting. So, Daryl, can you go ahead and kick us off with the first one?
Well, the first one is a new Sony Xperia Z1. And the thing that makes that so interesting is it's yet another one of these waterproof Android phones. But they actually call this one waterproof, which I found very, very interesting. We're not likely to see these in the U.S., which, you know, I kind of, you know, wish we could, because they sound like they're actually pretty good phones. And this is not the first one that they've released in, you know, Europe, and we just can't get here. But it is, what did they say, £500 when it goes on sale in the U.K. in a couple of weeks. So, you know, it's not going to be a cheap phone. I think that's about the price of, you know, a mid-range iPhone, to give you a comparison. And the specs on this aren't too bad, including a 3,000 milliamp hour battery, 16 gigs of storage. Plus, it has an SD card slot, which I thought was interesting for a waterproof device. It has a 5-inch screen that's 1080. But here's what's really kind of interesting. This thing has a 20.7 megapixel sensor in it, and it's not a small sensor that you'd normally get in a cell phone either. This is actually a pretty decent size sensor, so I'm expecting this to have some really good photos.
Right. Well, let's, now, I'm excited about that.
What comparatively would be, because I heard one of the other phones advertised in America was like 43 megapixel, I want to say.
Yeah, that would be one of the Lumia phones. There's a few different models, I guess, that are actually available with those high megapixel counts. But what's interesting about those is you can't actually get the 43 megapixels out of those cameras. They're playing some games with the resolution to give you better, lower resolution images, and they're doing a beautiful job with that.
How big are the files? I mean, they got to be huge.
Well, they're not actually using all of those pixels when they save them out to the files. They're using those extra pixels to do things like, you know, smooth out the rough edges and, you know, take care of noise, that kind of stuff on those Lumias. But, you know, think about the digital zoom that you could have if you, say, limit that to a 10 megapixel. Essentially, you have a real 4x zoom in there, because of all of those extra pixels that you just, you know, throw away,
right,
to get that 10 megapixel image. Hmm. So it is kind of interesting where they're going with this. But this one is the first one in a long time that really made me think we're looking at a nice a marriage, shall we say, between the phone and the cameras. You know, we've seen things like the Galaxy camera, which is such a mess when it comes down to it. But to have this, which is a standard you know, smartphone with a great camera like that, and it's waterproof, and it has a decent battery.
It's great. This for is caching. Something.
Yeah, exactly.
This is something. Add some shockproof to it. You're all set.
Right. But, you know, yeah, as Cash Advance pointed this out in our chat room, that £500 is $781. That's a quite a pricey price tag for a phone, and especially one that's, I mean, granted, it does have, you know, the great megapixel in it, you know, the 20.7 megapixel, but still, at that, even if it is waterproof, are you going to want to take a $781 device out in the woods with you, and for fear that you're going to drop it and crack it and do whatever with it? I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
One of the problems is that here in the U.S., we don't have a good understanding of what phones actually cost because of those subsidies that we see on those. So that kind of price, you know, and it's probably going to cost a little more in the U.K. because, unfortunately, things seem to cost a little bit more in the U.K. but those kind of price tags are not uncommon for smartphones.
Yeah.
Now, if you take a look at something like the Galaxy Note, I want to say the Note 3 unsubsidized is $800-something.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, I mean, tough to want to bring that device out into the woods. I mean, for me, that's just where I lay the line down there. I don't want to bring an $800 device. I mean, and granted, maybe I do that anyways because I'm taking my iPhone, but...
well, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've talked to a lot of geocachers out there that they say the same. They go under the idea of it's not going to happen to me, and they take them out. And that pendulum has switched. We've seen that over the past couple of years where, you know, we kept saying, don't take out these expensive smartphones. They're doing it anyways.
Well, and I think a lot of that also is people have come to understand how to handle these devices better and how to use them in the field better. So we're not seeing the kind of damage that you would expect to see with them. For one, most people who go out caching with their smartphone, they're turning it on, looking at it, and putting it away. It's not like the GPS when you're sitting there following that arrow.
Right. And I think that that's, I mean, caching, a lot of caching has become this urban caching where you don't need to have a GPS to follow the arrow. You know, you can use the GPS in the phone, like you said, Daryl, get kind of an idea where you're going, how far it is, put it away. You know, if you're urban caching, you're not going to have as many quote unquote dangers as you would if you were in the woods. Cause you're, you know, if you're in the woods, I've done it before with a laptop when I used to cache at the laptop, you know, I'm looking at the laptop screen and completely miss the log that's in front of me and fall over the log. And same thing with the smartphone. I mean, same thing would happen with the GPS R2, but it's built more rugged than these cell phones are.
Yeah, well, a lot of the smartphones are getting to be more rugged, and that's what I'm finding to be interesting. And Kyocera and Casio, I think it is, actually have some that are really designed for outdoor rugged use, but they're kind of shallow on the specs, shall we say. You know, they're lower performance devices, so you're paying a premium for having all of that shockproofing, all of the waterproofing, and not only is it cost-wise, but it's performance-wise. And that's why I find the Xperia so interesting, is these are phones that really don't look like they've been hardened, as, you know, even against water, yet they are, you know, splash-proof, waterproof phones.
All right, so let's talk a little bit here about the next thing that we've seen out of this same IFA show here. Samsung Galaxy Gear, which is a wearable smartwatch. Let's talk a little bit about that. It's going to be...
Dick Tracy watched her lives. I love it.
Yeah, and this is the closest thing we've seen to a Dick Tracy watch. This is a scary entry that... I really am not excited about this. I'm actually very afraid of it. In talking about a device that's expensive that you don't want to risk, this is going to be a $300 watch.
Right, and that's pretty big there. But let's talk a little bit about the, you know, the specs on it, though. It's only compatible with the Note 3 and the Galaxy 10.1, initially. And so that kind of limits it down. And when you say compatible, we say compatible here, we're talking about, you know, that it talks and plays well with those two devices, gets its information and stuff from that. It's 800 megahertz CPU, and it's a 1.63-inch Super AMOLED display at 320 by 320 resolution. So super, super small, like 1.92 megapixel camera. So we go from talking about one, awesome camera to one that's going to be pretty tiny there.
Well, and from what it looks like, they actually placed the camera in the band on this phone.
Really? Right,
well, it's not even a phone. It's just, you know, a little watch. But this is actually unlike something like the Pebble, mm-hmm. where it relies exclusively on the phone to really send it everything. This one actually has the apps that run on it. But here's the catch. It doesn't run just standard Android apps. It has to be the special Samsung and chat on apps. So, or Samsung or chat on apps.
Wait,
from
though.
What I'm reading.
I do see that it does support the Evernote app. I'm all for it then. I mean, I can take my notes right on the watch.
Well,
right?
I was going to say, they do have some really nice apps out there, including Evernote, Glimpse. They have Path, which I know a lot of people are big into. It has Pocket and Runkeeper. So you've got a lot of the apps that people really would want to use on their watch, you know, especially like Evernote would be great, or Glimpse. I'm just how nice would it be to be able to set up a Glimpse just by tapping my wrist rather than pull out the phone and do all of that, you know, madness.
Right, but I see, you know, how am I going to take my Evernote? I mean, I have a tough time typing on my phone, my iPhone 4S. Then I'm definitely going to have some misspellings on my Evernote.
You know they're going to make the James Bond wrist pad right here that you're going to be able to do this.
This is a beast of a watch. This is not something most people are going to want to walk around with on their wrist all the time anyway.
It's like me scrubbing my phone.
I wouldn't expect to be able to type on this thing at all. It's only a 320 by 320 screen. I don't know that you're really going to get a decent keyboard. However, it does have the microphones and a speaker. You know, so it does do the microphones with the noise cancellation and everything. So I think voice dictation is probably how you get a lot of that information into the watch. But I haven't seen anything yet on the Evernote app. I'm wondering if it's even, anything more than maybe it lets you take some video or voice notes. I'm thinking it's probably not going to support actual text notes. It's more for playback, you know, for displaying the information that you have in Evernote than creating new Evernotes.
So it's going to be going through your tablet and doing all the work there. You're just able to see it through your watch.
Right. It's an accessory to your phone. This is not a standalone device. It requires a phone or tablet, and from everything I've seen, there's no GPS in this. That's right. One of the reasons why they can make this thing work for, you know, a full day without recharging, supposedly. And I really wonder if that's even possible, because they're talking this thing only has a 315 milliamp hour battery. You know, we're talking that last phone has 3000 milliamp hour battery, but, you know, has a lot more screen, a lot more processing power. So it needs a lot more, but at the same time, I mean, we're talking something that's roughly a tenth of the battery.
Right. Well, I do see that it does have Bluetooth in it, accelerometer and gyroscope. So you get that same. I mean, there is possibility of doing some cool stuff with it.
It's got S-Voice. I mean, if you can sit there and say, you know, can you imagine the little computer in there saying, how can I help you? You know, call so-and-so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it does have some nice devices, but it is really designed as the add-on to your Note 3. And I think this is really what they're looking at. You know, you take a look, they've got this only supported initially by the Note 3 and the Galaxy 10. These are big devices that you don't want to have to go and pull out of your purse or out of your laptop bag, if that's where you've got it.
You mean mini laptop computers is what they are. I mean, they're let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. They're getting to the point of, they're not really the kind of thing, you know, you would never really want to hold a Note 3 to your head, even though I've seen people do that with the notes. It's not the kind of thing that you really want to do. It's not a comfortable situation, you know, so this is a kind of solution, I think, to that.
It's like
where
this.
They're just getting, the phones are too big, so now you have to get a phone for your phone. And to that, we've seen the HTC just released last week, Mini or something like that, but it's basically a Bluetooth phone for your phone. Okay. Wow. It makes perfect sense when you think about trying to use something like the Note 3, you know, or Note 2 or any of those bigger phones. You know, take that, plug it in, and then you've got this little itty bitty, you know, handset that's much more comfortable to talk on, that you keep on your desk with you. Your, you know, Note is plugged in and charging that whole time. So there are some very interesting things happening in the smartphone realm, and I'm thinking we're going to start seeing some 10-inch phones pretty soon.
Wow. Can you imagine playing Ingress with this with your buddies? We're in Sector 4. Move to Sector 7. I mean, gosh, you think that doesn't look a little suspicious?
Yeah, well, but here's one of the problems is that you have to have the apps that are actually built for this device.
Yeah.
You know, which is true of like the Pebble. No, but it sounds like at this point you have to go through the Samsung gatekeepers for that as well. And if that's the case, then, you know, who knows what the toll is going to be.
Think about this. They're just advertising, and I can't remember. That tells you I'm a marketer's worst nightmare. I can't remember the product. They just started advertising now where you can broadcast photographs to other people with phones now. It's not like a text per se. It's a general burst that you can do to other people that happen to have the phone on set up for that. If you saw the commercial with the lady and the guy in the opera, have you seen that one yet?
No. I haven't seen the commercial. I know a little bit of what you are talking about.
Yeah.
But that is specific to one manufacturer, and it's running on their network, as I understand it.
Right. And the idea is simple, though, but I thought it's very cool. If you don't necessarily have the person's number, you can't text them that way, but you can still communicate them through a burst as opposed to a general direct link. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, when you're getting into that kind of stuff, too, you're looking at all of these alternate messaging services that are getting away from the carriers. You know, MMS and SMS goes through the carrier. They have to pay the interchange and everything. So, and they have some limits that a lot of people find very limiting, including myself for SMS is, you know, 160 characters, which it doesn't seem to always have enough room that I'm making multiple messages, which costs people more money.
Yes.
Which is absurd if you look at the rates that they're charging for those. You know, that's why a lot of the carriers have started just including unlimited messaging, because otherwise people just go around it anyway with things like BBM, with AIM used to be a big thing, not so much anymore, but they're using iMessage is the Apple version. There's Hangouts from Google that's becoming more and more popular. And there's a Messenger service from Facebook. And these are what's becoming the new messaging platforms. MMS and SMS are going away. And that largely is because of the way that the carriers have charged for those, both internally and externally, you know, internally to each other and to the customers, that people don't want to deal with those anymore. You know, why pay 5-10 cents to send a message when you can do it for free and have more flexibility with it?
Right. Exactly.
Now, one of the things I would think would be cool with this, if you could have it, granted it doesn't have a GPS built into the watch, but if you have the GPS built into the tablet or the phone and you're able to put up on your wrist your distance to and your arrow or your little mini map or whatever has that on your wrist, that I would have interest in.
Yeah, and that's why we bring this up, is because there are some very reasonable, you know, we were talking with the Xperia, most people put their smartphone away. They don't keep looking at it. Well, this is a way to have that information at your wrist so that you don't have to worry as much about, you know, am I going the right way still, or, you know, you don't have to pull out the phone and risk the phone dropping and shattering or whatnot. But here's something that we talked about on GeoGearheads, is you really don't want the compass coming on your wrist, because how do you know which direction that arrow is supposed to be pointing?
Why, north up, of course.
You're waving your wrist around.
True. Oh, they'll figure it out by then. It'll be magic.
I think the radar is much more likely, or having that map. You know, the map view, you always have something to reference. And even the radar views tend to be a little bit more forgiving and easier to understand without a good compass. But, you know, you could have a compass built into the phone, which, you know, this has the accelerometers and gyroscopes. So in theory, you could probably get a good enough read off that to give you a decent arrow. But, you know, if you're holding it up at an angle, you don't necessarily know where that arrow is pointing. And that's a problem with all kinds of devices. But with the wrist, because of the movement, it gets a lot riskier, you know, because your wrist is always in motion as you're walking.
Well, that's very interesting. It'd be interesting to see what happens over the next coming, you know, months and years with developments like that. And these, you know, this is definitely not the first wristwatch that we've seen. You mentioned the Pebble, and there's the supposed iWatch, and then, you know, there's other devices like it. It'll be interesting to see, and even Garmin has their GPS watch, you know, watch line that you can wear and have, you know, do your geocaches like that. So it'll be interesting to see what exactly develops in those lines here in the coming future. Now, quickly, before we go off the air here tonight, there is feedback that we received that says, "Hey guys, I finally got around to listening to last week's episode about tablet caching. The app I use on my Nexus 7 is one called GDAC, or Geocaching Droid Army Knife. It supports offline maps. You can import caches using the API, but to me, the most useful feature for road trips, etc., is the ability to use GSAC databases. You can simply copy the GSAC database file onto your tablet, and away it goes. I've had over 10,000 caches installed, and it runs just fine. Thanks for the show." And that's from Comedy Addict. Well, thanks, Comedy Addict. I've heard of that app. I've never used it. Daryl, I know that you both have Android devices. Have you ever used the GDAC software?
I haven't used it in the field yet. I do have it on my Nexus 7, and it is a slick app. There's a lot of stuff that you can do out of there that you can out of GSAC. I haven't played with it a lot, but from what I've seen so far, I would like it.
See, when I looked at that app, I kind of discounted it because it didn't look like it supported any navigation at the time. So it could be that that's something that was added in, or it could be that it just didn't have it at the time that I looked at it. And so I just haven't looked back. And this is one of the problems that you'll have with a lot of these apps, is they'll release them in essentially like an alpha mode, and then they'll get updated, and you just don't get a chance to see that they've been updated because there's, if you haven't purchased and downloaded the app, you don't get the notifications that they've been updated.
Yeah, I just liked it that I was able to pull the GSAC stuff and put it in there. So that was pretty handy.
Yeah, now I will say the 10,000 caches, I haven't run into many apps. There are some, and I'm not going to name them, but there are some that do tend to get bogged down even at about 1,000 caches. But for the most part, I've loaded up some of these with over 100,000 caches just to see how slow they would get. And even on some of the older hardware, they really didn't have a problem. They do a good job with parsing that data.
Well, this brings us to a close of this show, and we want to thank you guys for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. You can join us each Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern at geocachingpodcast.com/live. You can watch us record and hang out with our other listeners. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call our voicemail line and leave us a message, and that number is 630-31-VOICE. You can do that anytime. Have a safe week, and happy caching.